All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
Happy Monday. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. It's been beautiful weather three consecutive days now in Calgary, and we'll take it. After all that rain, everything's getting nice and green. NHL season is finally in the books, but still one more thing to check off the hockey calendar before we're officially in the offseason. That and more coming up in headlines. We're into hour number three of The Big Show. Don't forget you can find The Big Show wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a moment or a guest. My name is Will Nault, and for the latest on everything happening in the sports world, time for headlines with Logan Gordon. Logan, where are we starting?
We'll start with hockey, Will. The Hockey Hall of Fame announcing their 2022 induction class, and it is headlined by three Vancouver Canucks icons, Henrik and Daniel Sedin, along with Roberto Luongo, Daniel Alfredsson, and Finnish women's national team star Riikka Salonen are the other players joining them. Well, Herb Carnegie has been inducted posthumously as a builder. The Sedins enter the hall together in their first year of eligibility. Well, they spent their entire career, 17 years, in Vancouver after being drafted second and third overall in 1999. Henrik is the Canucks' all-time leader in assists, points, and games played. He won the Hart Trophy and the Art Ross in 2010, but somehow, well, only a two-time All-Star. Daniel, the all-time leading goal scorer for the Canucks, he won the Art Ross and Ted Lindsay Award in 2011. Both Sedins have gold medals representing Sweden at the 2006 Olympics and the 2013 World Championships. Well, Luongo is a first ballot Hall of Famer as well. He retired back in 2019 after spending time with the Canucks, Panthers, and Islanders. He currently ranks fourth all-time on the wins list with 489, a three-time Vezina Trophy finalist, and a runner-up for the Hart Trophy in 2007. He posted a career 919 save percentage to go along with 77 shutouts in the NHL. He's also one of the most successful Canadian netminders of all time. He won gold at the Olympics in 2010 and 2014, also at the World Championships in 03 and 04, and the World Cup of Hockey in 2004. As for Daniel Alfredsson, he's been eligible for the Hall since 2017. Longtime Sens captain, finished his 18-year career with 1,157 points in 1,246 games. He was the Calder Trophy winner in 1996. His Olympic medals, gold in 2006 and silver in 2014. And always the cool moments that we get during this announcement. Well, here's Lanny McDonald, a longtime Calgary Flame, a longtime member of the selection board, and Mike Gardner giving Alfredsson the call that he had officially been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Daniel, it's Lanny and Mike Gardner. So if it wasn't the Hall of Fame, were you not going to take the call? I'm kidding.
I thought it was my insurance company. No, I'm kidding.
It's a pleasure to make this call with Lanny. As you know, I'm the chairman of the Hockey Hall of Fame Selection Committee, and we are here to let you know that you have been selected for induction into the class of 2022 for the Hockey Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys. I can't tell you how much this means, not just to me, but to the city of Ottawa as well. And I thought there might be a chance that this would happen, but at the same time, I thought there might be a chance that it wouldn't happen. So obviously, I want to thank you guys and the whole committee that you voted for me to get in, and I'm truly humbled and honored.
There's Daniel Alfredsson receiving the call earlier today from Lanny McDonald and Mike Gardner. Other two inductees, Riikka Salonen, she played 16 years with Finland's women's team, winning 12 medals across various international tournaments. She was inducted into the IIHF Hall of Fame in 2010 and became the oldest player in Olympic history to win a medal when she earned bronze in Pyeongchang in 2018. And finally, Will, Herb Carnegie, he played 10 seasons in the Quebec Senior Hockey League from 1944 to 1954. He was a Toronto native of Jamaican descent. He frequently endured racism during his playing career, never making the NHL despite putting up terrific numbers in the minors. He would make his mark by starting Future Aces, one of Canada's first hockey schools. Carnegie is a member of the Order of Canada and was inducted in the Sports Hall of Fame in 2001.
Yeah, very impressive class. I don't think, you know, really anybody on here is not deserving of getting that call. I think there's a couple of other names that maybe you could have seen in place of those. I know Caroline Ouellette on the women's side has been mentioned already today. Her resume, super, super impressive. And I do think one day she will get that call to the Hall. And, of course, the biggest snub on the male side continues to be, for a lot of people, Alexander McGillney. Once again, not involved in this class. I think could have been there over a guy like Alfredson, and nobody would have complained about it. I just think that, you know, over time, maybe McGillney does get there. It's been a long wait for him already. It's been a 5-year wait for Alfredson. I think you can make the case for a guy like McGillney to make it over him. But no, I think overall, a very impressive class when you're talking about these players going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I think there's probably no bigger slam dunk on the male side for players this year than Roberto Luongo. To play over 1,000 games as a goaltender, obviously very impressive. Yes, did not win a Stanley Cup, but came one win away. Was obviously brilliant and the backbone for the 2010 gold medal winning team in Vancouver at the Olympics with Canada. And, for all the longevity that Luongo had, finished his career third on the all-time wins list. Has since been surpassed by Marc-Andre Fleury. But yeah, just he and Martin Brodeur, the only goalies to play over 1,000 games, and a very well-deserved call for all of the members today in the 2022 class.
Sticking with hockey, some NHL news to follow today, Will. The Toronto Maple Leafs re-signing defenseman Timothy Liljegren to a 2-year contract with a $1.4 million AAV. The Boston Bruins have given GM Don Sweeney a vote of confidence. He has signed a multi-year contract extension.
Yeah, not a verbal vote of confidence. A legit and real vote of confidence.
Yes. He was promoted to GM back in the 2015-16 season. He won GM of the Year in 2018-19 when the Bruins reached the Cup Final, losing to the Blues in 7 games. He is 55 years old now, Will. He's been in the front office with the Bruins since 2006 in various capacity. He also played 15 years with the Bruins from 1988 to 2003.
There you go.
So, interesting. Don Sweeney will apparently be the guy over the next couple of years.
And was it ever confirmed the amount of years? It just said multi-year, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Haven't seen that anywhere.
No. So, multi-year could be 2, could be 10. We'll find out the details when they are given to us. Also, in hockey, I wanted to mention this too. It's happening right now. The Memorial Cup semifinals in St. John right now between Hamilton and Shawinigan. Winner goes on to face St. John in the final on Wednesday. Still looking scoreless in that one by my count, Will.
Yeah, 0-0, about 2 minutes into that game. Of course, the winner will advance to the final on Wednesday night against the host, St. John. And as we speak, Hamilton, I believe, just opened the scoring. Oh, they're going to say it was a crossbar. Play. The goal was waved off. Play continues. We'll see on video review if that went in. Player pretty confident it did go in. But yes, 0-0 right now. About 2 minutes into the opening period, winner will face St. John Wednesday in the Memorial Cup final. Edmonton Oil Kings did not make the playoffs. They finished in fourth after the round robin.
Moving to baseball, the Blue Jays back at home opening up a series against the Boston Red Sox tonight, Will, and they'll want to forget the last 2 games for sure in Milwaukee.
0-1. Tellez drills it again out to deep right field, over the head of Hernandez, off the top of the wall, and gone. Rowdy Tellez with his second 2-run home run in consecutive at-bats. Milwaukee has opened up an 8-3 lead.
Yeah, Jays would drop at 10-3 yesterday. Another hard outing for Jose Berríos. The Jays 3-7 in their last 10, Will. And after an 8-2 stretch by the Red Sox, have now seen Boston move into second spot in that AL East chase behind the Yankees. So the Blue Jays would love to get back in the win column tonight and catch up that ground that they've lost to Boston. Now they'll turn to Kevin Gausman on the mound to do so. He's 5-6 on the year with a 3.19 ERA and 87 strikeouts. Connor Siebold pitching in his first start of the year for the Red Sox. He was just called up from AAA. And interesting to note as well, John Heyman, of course, will try with some baseball news a little bit earlier today. Jays look like they're going to be adding some help to their bullpen, close to signing reliever Sergio Romo to an MLB deal. He's 39, began the season with the Mariners, hit hard in 17 appearances, pitching to an ERA of 8.19 in just over 14 innings. He was released by the team last week. He spent the majority of his career with the Giants.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. The Blue Jays definitely need help. Their bullpen's been overworked here because of their starting pitching. And it was funny, I was thinking about you yesterday watching that game. As again, Jose Berríos struggled. You were worried before that start against Milwaukee. Not good. It was the bottom of the second, already at 8 runs against. It was not pretty for Jose Berríos. It's been a really, really tough season for him. Ross Stripling can't talk about his value enough. He's been so good for this team. Obviously, he has stepped in place of injury. But yeah, this is desperate times. Call for desperate measures to sign Romo, a guy who, as you just mentioned, was hit very hard in Seattle. And I'm not really sure. Maybe the pitching whisperer can get him going, Pete Walker. But at this point, 39 years old, you're just trying to get some sort of help. And a guy with big league experience is probably going to be beneficial for you as opposed to calling somebody up. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the Blue Jays pitching staff letting them down right now, costing them some wins. And again, it's a 10-game stretch in what is a very long season. But yeah, a very troubling trend right now. And the starting pitching has been at the forefront of that. We'll see if things can turn around. And certainly hope Kevin Gausman can get the good mojo going tonight at home at the Rogers Center.
It's a 5:07 first pitch from Rogers Center where the roof is open tonight. You can catch the game right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, or for your viewing pleasure, you can catch it across the Sportsnet television channels. Part of 9 games across the majors tonight, Will. None of them have started yet. Your late game tonight is the Baltimore Orioles. They are in Seattle for an 8:10 first pitch against the Mariners. Moving to some NBA news. Sounds as though Kyrie Irving doesn't have a lot of suitors if he wants to get out of Brooklyn, Will, but he might have one that has a familiar face on their roster right now. According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the LA Lakers are the only known team planning a pursuit of Irving through a sign-and-trade, although Brooklyn isn't interested in their current package. Earlier this weekend, the Nets gave Kyrie Irving and his representatives permission to speak to other teams about a potential sign-and-trade package. Apparently, LA is the only team interested right now in trying to go down that route. Apparently, the Clippers, Knicks, Heat, 76ers, and Mavericks were listed as some of Irving's potential desired locations. He has until June 29th to decide whether or not to exercise his $36.5 million player option for next season. Of course, Will, a destination of LA Lakers would mean a reuniting of him and LeBron James for their days with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And mentioned this last week when this Irving news first broke out. It's brought up questions about what's going to happen with Kevin Durant as well. Apparently, he doesn't want to be in Brooklyn if Kyrie Irving isn't there. So could see two major NBA superstars changing teams sooner than later.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I know that it was funny. People were retweeting the clip from their initial press conference with Kyrie Irving saying, "We want to finish our careers in Brooklyn."
Wow. So their careers are done already.
Whoa. retirement instead. But yeah, so I think now people are watching to see where they end up. It sounds like Kyrie really wants to play with the Lakers. It doesn't sound like any sort of deal involving Russell Westbrook is anywhere close. But the NBA offseason, if there's anything we've learned, it can be completely wild and unpredictable. So wait and see on both of those players. But it does sound like if you're the Brooklyn Nets, and it, you know, they've come out and maybe pretty much said it, if you read between the lines, they just don't want to have the drama they had last year. So if they have to get rid of both those guys, they're totally okay with that. So, yeah.
Fun times. Yeah, we'll see where that drama winds up. We'll also continue to see where this drama winds up. The Houston Texans have been told that their former quarterback, Deshaun Watson, was sexually harassing women during massage sessions, but instead of trying to stop him, the team provided him with resources to enable his actions and turned a blind eye to his behavior. That, according to a lawsuit filed today against the team in Houston by one of the 24 women who had previously sued Watson over allegations of sexual misconduct when he played for the team. Of course, last week, the attorney for those 24 women, Tony Busby, announced that 20 of the 24 lawsuits had been settled. Watson later traded to the Cleveland Browns. He's, of course, denied any wrongdoing, vowed to clear his name. He's set to have a hearing this week with NFL disciplinary officer Sue Robinson, who will decide if the 26-year-old violated the league's personal conduct policy. She's expected to rule before the Browns open training camp late next month. So now, not only is Deshaun Watson still in hot water, Will, but apparently so are the Houston Texans. For potentially enabling this sort of behavior.
Yeah, and the New York Times had that big article on it. I believe it's a must-read for almost everybody. It kind of pretty much details exactly what Logan's talking about and maybe why you can see a lawsuit handed towards the or against the Houston Texans. It's an ugly situation, and you're right. It sounds like the two sides are going to meet in person this week, and we're getting closer to finding out what the discipline looks like for Deshaun Watson. The more and more we hear, the more that's been coming out, it does feel like we're looking at a full season, potentially, of a suspension for Deshaun Watson.
And I guess this is sort of NFL-related, but I wanted to throw this your way to get
your... boxing match?
It is the boxing match. Things I didn't think I would say. Apparently, Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell are destined to meet in a boxing match July 30th at Crypto.com Arena. This is according to TMZ Sports. Le'Veon Bell was already revealed to be making his boxing debut on the card, although we didn't know who his opponent was. Sounds as though it's going to be 37-year-old former NFL MVP Adrian Peterson, who's now 37 years old, will be boxing Le'Veon Bell July 30th.
Now, this is interesting. As you say, it sounded like Bell was maybe already leaning towards boxing. Would you watch this fight?
No, I wouldn't.
Not even if you didn't have to pay money?
If I didn't have to pay money, maybe.
Then you'd be interested.
Yes. I can't get behind the crazy celebrity boxing thing. Like, I'm not going to pay 50 or 75 bucks.
But if
to
you
watch,
get a bunch of buddies together and you pay $2.
I still wouldn't. I just wouldn't want to. I wouldn't. If it was free and I had nothing else to do, I'd be... They're not boxers. I don't care. I mean, maybe if you don't... Maybe if you hate one of them, you'd be really interested. Like, if I got a Corey Perry boxing match against somebody, I'll shell out $100.
Well, you'd want to fight.
I would want to fight, but yeah. I would lose.
Yeah.
Badly.
That's a good point. That you bring
I would
up.
Lose awfully. But...
At least you're honest.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying I could beat Corey Perry up. I couldn't beat Corey Perry up. But the point is... it was big before COVID, and you're kind of getting into it during then, the whole famous people fighting each other thing. It's just not my thing. It's weird. It's really weird to be here and say that Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson are going to fight each other on a YouTuber's boxing thing. But I'm not that, like, I'm really not. Would you pay money for it?
No, absolutely not. I don't pay money to watch professional boxers fight, so I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't dive into this one either. And same thing, I don't have any necessary hate or I don't dislike either one strongly.
I think that would be the only way that you would. pull some people in.
Really care for Le'Veon Bell, I guess, if you were to really break it down. I mean, the guy took a year off and was awful ever since. Maybe he's in desperate need of money. Maybe that's what this is. I don't know. We'll see what the viewership looks like for that fight. I saw that today, and I was like, it's not April 1st, so this probably is legit. Thing. We'll see if they ultimately do get to the ring. And how many people watch that coming up? You said later this summer?
July 30th.
Wow.
Crypto.com Arena.
About a month away. We'll see if it actually happens.
That seems like an appropriate place to end headlines.
I would think so. Yeah, and that's a real.
If we're getting to that.
That
sort
is
of,
a real headline, folks.
We're getting to that sort of headline news.
That is a real headline. We'll see if Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson ultimately get in the ring on July 30th. Thank you for that, Logan. Reminder: if you're just joining us, we are going to take you to the Rogers Center at the top of the hour. Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays opening up a 3-game set. Kevin Gausman on the mound for Toronto. You can also watch this one on Sportsnet as the Blue Jays look to get back into the win column after what was a very tough weekend in Milwaukee. We'll take a break, come back, shift gears again to hockey. Your text always welcome at 960-960. But the class of 2022 has been announced. What about the class of 2023? I'm going to list off the first ballot eligibles for Logan around the corner, and we'll see what he thinks. But who could be a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2023? All as we continue, some more hockey thoughts as well. Memorial Cup semifinal is underway. 0-0, Shawinigan and Hamilton. That was about the midway point of the first period. Hour 3 of the Big Show rolls on next, live from downtown Calgary on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're locked on The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Such a roller coaster ride in terms of emotions. You know, obviously I break my hand. I think I'm done. I came back. I couldn't even tie my own skates. So I shout out to the trainer, tying my skates before every game. I don't care. Whatever it took, I was going to be out here one way or another.
As you have a lot of fans down in Southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, etc. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that have stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said. I mean, I've had supporters in my corner from day one, never wavered. And, you know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
Nazem Kadri with Elliot Friedman and David Amber yesterday on the ice post-Avalanche victory. They take it in 6 games and are the 2022 Stanley Cup champions. Hour 3 rolls on. Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you on the Big Show this afternoon. Happy Monday to you. I thought that was pretty funny from Nazem Kadri. Of course, that was the narrative for a long, long time, and this year did not get suspended. The only time he missed in the playoffs was because of an injury. Unfortunate situation in the Western Conference Final where he was checked from behind, but he came back and had to get the trainer to tie his skates for him, Logan, but he came back and was obviously a massive part of the Avalanche Cup run. And now the questions are, what uniform is he wearing in October?
Going to be interesting to see for sure, because he was such a big part of this Avalanche team, and coming back, he scored that big goal. It felt like such a good fit for Nazem Kadri, but as good as he was, there are bigger priorities in Colorado, and namely Nathan MacKinnon, who needs a new deal next year. And, you know, part of the offseason beginning this year is that you can hammer out those details starting this summer, right? So I think somebody is going to get a much better version of Nazem Kadri because of his time in Colorado. I think he's learned a lot about winning and doing it the right way. And to have a full playoff like that where he didn't get suspended. No one, Nazem doesn't have anyone to blame for those suspensions other than himself. They were very deserving, some of them, to miss that time in the postseason. But for him to go out and show everybody that he can play the game the right way and not make those crucial mistakes that hurt his team. Yeah, I'm sure it felt really good for him to get that off his chest last night.
So Kadri is a Stanley Cup winner. He'll be wearing a different jersey in October. What about Val Nichushkin? You saw his foot post game. It was all purple and yellow and kind of the same situation. He had to get the training staff to help him put his skate on. Once the skate was on, it was a matter of how much pain he could endure in that game at number six. And he played over 23 minutes, I believe, in game six, and certainly did not allow that foot injury to affect him too much. He was a massive part of this Avalanche team. I think you can make the case better for him than you can for Kadri to stay in Denver, but it also feels like he, Logan, will be wearing a different uniform next season. And you could maybe even make a similar case to Kadri that, you know, the stop in Denver has made Nikushkin a way better player and probably one of the most attractive free agents out there.
He's gonna, that guy's going to get paid big time for him to have that. I mean, that really low point for anybody in Dallas with the zero goals and to have so much made of that. It would have been very easy for him to, you know, maybe quietly go back to Russia, spend some time in the KHL and sort of forget about his time here in the NHL. And he never did that. And that guy scored some massive goals. I can't remember who said it on the broadcast during this series, but in context of the Conn Smythe Trophy, I think Cale Makar was obviously very deserving, and being a unanimous selection didn't surprise me. But somebody said, you know, where does Val Nichushkin wind up in all of this if the voting is only for the Stanley Cup final? Right, he's probably right up there with a guy like Cale Makar. That's how big he was during the postseason, and that's how good he was during the regular season for this team. And now, yes, I think you're, as always, a part of a team sport like hockey is, you're a product of the system that you play in and a product of those around you and who you get to play with. And playing on a power play that has Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar can make a massive difference for you. But I don't think you need to look much further than sometimes the history of the team here in Calgary will. Playoff performers and guys that get it done at that time of the year usually find themselves pretty well compensated come the summer of free agency. Whether that's a Coleman or a Brower or whoever. If you can show up big at that time of year and then add on the regular season that this guy had and sort of the coming around that he's had of maturity in the NHL, that would be a guy that I think is on top of a lot of people's priority list this summer.
He will get paid. He will be at the top of, I think, a lot of teams' lists when you look at free agents that would fit with their group. He's a big man, and seems like he has figured out his game in the NHL. Be curious to see how much and where Nikushkin plays next season. Those are the two names that I think we're assuming will leave Denver just because of salary cap situations. What about Darcy Kuemper? I think if you're the Avalanche, you know, you're probably okay with Pavel Francouz. I mean, you seem to be very confident in him when he's called upon. He signed some cost certainty there, two more years at $2 million a season. And if you're a team like the Edmonton Oilers, I think you'd like Mike Smith to say, I'm retired, and then you can go sign a guy like Darcy Kuemper. I think that, you know, Kemper's in an opportunity where he potentially could cash in too, depending, you know, what team that is. But the goalie market's always a hot one, and if someone's going to overpay, it likely is for a goaltender.
That one might be the hardest one for Colorado, the Darcy Kuemper conversation, because, I mean, yes, he got them there, but it wasn't without its ups and downs, and some of them were certainly injury-related, going back to that scary scenario in round one, but some of them were performance-related. And I think a lot of people wondered after how well Pavel Francouz played in that Edmonton series, Will, you know, just whether or not it was right to go back to Darcy Kuemper or whether or not Pavel Francouz could be the guy. Now, you're kind of in tough if you're Colorado because the options in your organization are, you know, Pavel Francouz is signed for two more years at a great number for a backup at $2 million. He's never been a starter before. So what's your confidence level in handing the reins to him? Darcy Kuemper, also 32 years old. Are you willing to commit 5 or 6 years to a guy that's 32 years old and had an okay season and a pretty good season, all things considered? But it's not as though he was in consideration for a Vezina Trophy or anything like that that makes it a slam dunk. And as we saw during the playoffs, Eustace Annunen is the sort of next guy up in the Colorado organization as far as goaltenders go. He's 22 years old, and he was a third-round pick in 2018. So he's still getting his legs underneath him. This was, you know, I believe his first year was last year with the Colorado Eagles in the AHL, and he only played two games. So as far as North American experience goes, he doesn't have much of it. And it's kind of a weird spot for us because so often we talk about Stanley Cup champions and we never really have a question about goaltending or what's going to happen with that. But that might be the biggest one for Colorado heading into this. Where do you see it? Because I would have a hard time giving Darcy Kuemper a long-term deal. And based on his season, I can't blame him for thinking that somebody might be willing to do that out there.
Well, and I think he's also a guy that did show that he can help you in the playoffs and be a guy that you can trust when it does matter the most. But yeah, playing with an elite team in front of you, I think, can always have that kind of buyer beware type feel to it. Certainly with his age as well. The problem is I just mentioned kind of before with Darcy Kuemper, and this is goalies in general, the market always feels a little shallow. So I think he has a chance to cash in because all it takes is one. There's going to be somebody that does it, whether it's Edmonton or, you know, a team that feels like they just need a little bit more of a solid tandem even. I feel like that's probably a spot where Darcy Kuemper could end up. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, for Colorado and their cap situation, I think they acquired Darcy Kuemper knowing this could be the end result. And they've got a Stanley Cup banner to hang as a result. So I don't know if they're too upset about it if he does end up walking away.
Other free agent goalies.
Like, he's Marc-Andre probably top of the list.
Oh,
right?
He is. Well, I maybe. Fleury's there. Campbell. Husso. Who else you got here? You got Wedgwood.
I thought Husso was an RFA. UFA?
UFA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets a call somewhere, too. 5 years younger than Kuemper.
What I mean. If you're Colorado and you've seen the Avalanche, have seen plenty of Ville Husso. You take him away from St. Louis and pop him in the net for the next couple of years if you feel confident he can be the guy. I would wonder if that's not an appealing option for them. There's just never a rich group of goaltenders.
Because
nobody, it's the common thing. No one lets a good goaltender very often. You know, even if they do, even, you know, the Jacob Markstrom year, it was like Markstrom and then, you know, you're pretty low down the list of guys that you're confident in as far as starters go. I think there's quality goaltenders out there. Like, don't get me wrong, whether it's a Thomas Greiss or a Lang, I think there's interesting goalies out there, but as far as a team that's in a contending window goes,
right,
there's very few options.
Husso, Kuemper, and Fleury are probably your top guys. And how much do you trust Fleury at his age? I think he showed pretty well in Minnesota, and it sounds like there's a desire, whether or not it ends up coming to fruition, sounds like there's a desire to keep him in Minnesota. That would be, I think, Bill Guerin's wish to reunite the tandem of Talbot and Fleury, but what does Marc-Andre Fleury feel about that? He's moved a lot the last handful of years.
I mean, it would fit the, you know, winning now mantra with Marc-Andre Fleury, but does it fit his family? Does it fit moving around again, as you mentioned? I don't know.
So there's your look at some of the decisions ahead for the Colorado Avalanche. Three big names, I think, atop of their list. Josh Manson's also on that UFA list, but I think many expecting him to be moving on regardless. Just, again, there's only so much money for Avalanche to spend around, and it doesn't sound like Josh Manson will be a guy that is back in Colorado. In fact, there's some talk about him going back to Anaheim with the Ducks. So we'll see where Josh Manson ends up when July 13th hits our schedule, and all of a sudden we're looking at free agents signing. Lots to happen before then, but there's your look at the Avalanche side of things. On the other side with Tampa, I think obviously the top of that list and likely gone just because of the cap situation is Andre Pollock.
Same age as
Nazem Kadri. Obviously a two-time Stanley Cup winner. He's been a very good playoff performer. You talk about guys that are going to get paid. Andre Palat's in a nice spot to have a nice paycheck next season, Logan.
Right around that, 30 to 40 point guy. His best year, well behind him in 2014-15 when he had 63 points. But again, it fits that same sort of narrative as a Coleman, or I know Brouwer didn't work out here, but he had similar numbers, points wise, that are, sort of that 30 to 40, maybe 50 point range at the top. But the guys that you really count on when the playoffs start, and it's those guys are always interesting to me, Will, because a guy like Andre Palat, 94 points in 138 playoff games, that's a significant, but it's a jump up from what he produces during the regular season. And there's a number of guys every year that seem to fit that mold, that there's just something about this time of year that bodes well for somebody's game, and they're able to raise it up a level and are just constant performers. And we always say that, the hockey gets harder at this time of year. It's more difficult. You've got to put in more to get the job done and to get those kind of points. Well, there's another guy that has done it at every single level, every single time he's been asked to do it in the playoffs. 21 points in 23 playoff games this year.
Mm-hmm. Double-digit goals, too.
Can't tell me that's not a guy that's going to get
a ton
of interest from somebody.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think he's all but gone from Tampa, and that's a big loss for that team.
They just have no money.
No. It's just the reality of the situation. Maybe they end up trading somebody else and somehow can keep.
Yeah, what was he at?
Andre Palat?
5.3 last year.
But, yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case, because there's going to be somebody else that probably outbids you for a guy.
Well, you can't even afford him at the same number.
No. Well, again, unless you do make a bunch of trades, but I don't know if that's...
They're running out of guys to trade away. Remember a couple years ago we talked about... They're in salary cap hell. There's no way they're going to get out from under some of these deals, and they did. But there's just, you trade Ross Colton, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Corey Perry, and Pat Maroon, and you've saved like $4.1 million, and you got rid of four players on your roster. They just don't have enough guys to trade away. Like, their forward group, everybody except for Killorn, Cirelli, Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov, their salary starts with a one. It's $1.5 million or less. That's what you need to do, but it just doesn't leave you a whole lot of options.
So there you go. There's your look at the Stanley Cup final teams and some of their decisions ahead. Obviously, Nick Paul is the guy who they brought in at the deadline. He will likely be gone as well. So two names that will no longer be in Tampa that were big parts of this 2022 run back to the Stanley Cup final. Just want to shift gears quickly. I mentioned this before at the end of headlines. The 2022 Hockey Hall of Fame class was revealed today. What about in 2023? We talked about goaltenders with Darcy Kemper. How about the first-year eligibles this year? Certainly, you talk about slam dunks. Henrik Lundqvist is a first-year eligible in 2023. I would think that he would be a slam dunk. That's just my guess. Other notable names in terms of first-year eligibility, not so much in the slam dunk category. Corey Crawford, Justin Williams, Ben Bishop, and Dustin Byfuglien, along with Jimmy Howard. I don't think any of those last three names will appear.
How dare you besmirch Jimmy Howard?
But Corey Crawford, obviously a very impressive resume in his time with Chicago. Justin Williams had the nickname Mr. Game 7 for a reason. The number is not overly great for Justin Williams' career, but a three-time Cup winner and a great playoff performer. And then, of course, returning candidates that likely will see their name on the 23 ballot, Alexander Mogilny, Henrik Zetterberg, Caroline Ouellette, Megan Dugan on the women's side, Curtis Joseph, Patrick Eliash. Those are some of the names. And obviously, we talked a little bit about Rod Brind'Amour today, but those are some of the names that you're looking at for the 2023 Hockey Hall of Fame class. Any of those names jump out to you? Are you with me on the Henrik Lundqvist side of things?
Yes, Lundqvist, I think, is a slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer in my mind. 15 years with the New York Rangers, save percentage of .918, 243 goals against.
And just year after year.
It was
after
just
year,
consistent.
Like minimum 30 wins, no problem.
He was 23 and took over as New York's number one goalie.
Yep.
And just ran with it. It's
did
unbelievable.
Not look back.
No, and like we've mentioned a few times, there will be some detractors that say, well, Henrik Lundqvist never won a Stanley Cup. Again, that's not the be all end all when it comes to the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's a team sport and a team award, and like many others in his case, and like many others in this class, Will, Henrik Lundqvist had his moments where he competed for a Stanley Cup, and he came very close. To me, the Stanley Cup argument is one that I put less and less weight on. I mean, I look at what Henrik Lundqvist did.
Well, and keep in mind,
I don't even need to hear about a Stanley Cup to think that he's a Hall of Famer.
Keep in mind, too, it's, you know, 32-team league. It's not
exactly
like you're going to be in. You're just inducting Stanley Cup winners. You're not going to have very many people in your Hall of Fame.
No, and he had 61 playoff wins. That's a Rangers record. Can't tell me the guy never got it done in the postseason. Okay, he didn't win the Stanley Cup. Great. There's plenty of great players that never won a Stanley Cup. There's another one. I don't know that any of the others strike me as must induct first time around.
No, I don't think anybody does.
I think Justin Williams will get there because of his playoff success and winning a Conn Smythe trophy during 2014. It's hard because the numbers aren't outstanding. Only reaching the 50-point plateau twice.
Yeah, I have a hard
And there are guys, I mean, Bernie Nichols has 1,210 points. That's probably wrong. It's 1,200 and something. And the guy didn't get a sniff, apparently, for the Hall of Fame this year. Like 500 and some more points than Justin Williams did.
1,209. You're one off.
Damn it.
But yeah, I don't think Justin Williams gets in.
I don't think he's a first ballot guy. I would wonder about the rest.
Definitely not. I don't even know if he's a Hall of Famer. How much value do you put in winning, I guess, is your thing.
Well, I mean, winning is interesting, but also just being like Henrik Lundqvist, 61 playoff wins, but never a Stanley Cup. I mean, Justin Williams scored massive goals and was a playoff beast for a number of different teams.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how his status goes, but I don't think Justin Williams is a Hall of Famer, personally. Like, never won any major awards. I know he won the Conn Smythe, but, you know, we're talking about a guy who reached over 70 points once in his career. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer, but I just know that there are people out there that value winning greatly, and he does have 3 Stanley Cups, and as you mentioned, has scored some big goals, does have a Conn Smythe, and of course the nickname Game 7 because played 9 game sevens and won 8 of them. So we'll see where that ends up. And
had a winner in those ones too.
In terms of returning candidates, yeah, Alexander Mogilny is I think at the top of everybody's list. Henrik Zetterberg, I think, is a guy that certainly will get some love.
I'd love to. I think Zetterberg should be in there myself.
Where are you on Patrick Eliash?
Yeah, I think he should be there.
That's not necessarily flashy.
Nope. But great numbers.
Yeah.
This is the thing, and this is one of the things about, and I have the utmost respect for guys like Eric Duhatchik and other guys that have been on the board, because it's very tough, but it feels like year after year we're adding another name or two to the list of why, right? The text line's pointed out a couple times today, Mike Vernon. I think Curtis Joseph is a Hall of Famer. But again, now you're getting to the point where you're sitting at what? I think I could go through the list and give you a good handful of names that I feel are worthy of being in the Hall of Fame that won't. And you really only, because the class is always introduced, at least one, I would say, first ballot Hall of Famer per class. You know, you're going to continually slide guys down. And it's tough because, yeah, I think Eliash has been one that's been brought up plenty of times. 1,240 games, over 1,000 points. You know, I mentioned Bernie Nichols, who's got 1,200 points. Jeremy Roenick has over 1,200 points. And Pierre Turgeon of eligible players is very few to, you know, that has 500 goals and over 1,300 points. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, when you talk about, you know, guys that are coming up for the first couple of time or, you know, having those conversations, it's interesting because, yeah, do I think that it would be interesting to talk about Justin Williams? Sure, but doesn't have the resume of five or six at least of some of these guys, and they're not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Yeah. Text comes in, 960-960, lots of them, and appreciate that, of course, as always. We're up against it, but just wanted to read this one quickly. How can Lundqvist be eligible right now when he just retired? It's not when you retire, it's when you played your last game. And you look at the Sedins, they last played in 2018. They're inducted in 2022, so that's 4 years. Lundqvist has not played since 2019. 23 will be 4 years. Boom, there you go. So that is why Henrik Lundqvist is eligible.
That COVID timing really throws you off when you think about it.
It does. Yes, it does.
Then you remember he was like in like what, five practices for
I don't even think he Washington. Practiced. I don't even think he practiced for them.
I thought I saw one maybe with him in a Capitals.
Well, I think because they shipped gear to him or whatever when he was in Europe, but I don't think he ever practiced with them. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, that's why he's eligible.
Yeah.
We have to go. Appreciate the texts all the time on the fan feedback line, 960-960. Your feedback is what makes this show and this station continue to go. So thank you for that, and that'll do it for us today. Appreciate the time with Eric DeHatchick and Peter Labardius. We're back with you on a Tuesday edition of the program. Up next, Blue Jays and Red Sox kicking off a three-game series from the Rogers Centre in Toronto. For Aaron Howell and Logan Gordon, my name is Will Nault. Enjoy the ball game. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.